Just take a moment to have a look at y'all. Y'all. What a beautiful family. So it's Christmas, I've been told. And at Christmas, people like to give presents. Do you expect to receive a present on Christmas morning? You don't have to put your hands up. You know, presents are interesting things, and I guess as you get older, you don't need more stuff. So get rid of stuff by giving it away to you people, and it just goes around. So this year, Judith and I decided we wouldn't buy each other presents, because, you know, what do you buy the lady that's got everything? So we decided to buy ourselves an experience rather than stuff. And that's where we were last weekend. We missed you all. We definitely missed the banquet. That sounds like a lot of fun. And the guests and Tito and the people that came with him. It was a great, great celebration last week. But we had the opportunity of just enjoying some time with our son and daughter-in-law in Toronto. Our gift to each other was tickets to go to the Roy Thomson Hall and hear the Mendelssohn Choir sing Messiah, played by the Toronto Symphony Orchestra. And it's close to heaven. It's about the first heaven. But it was amazing. There's so much scripture in Messiah when it's sung, and how thousands of people every year can sing it and listen to it and not be impacted by the scripture. It just boggles my mind. You know, we saw 100+ people in the choir on the stage singing and proclaiming about our Lord. You want to jump up and say, hallelujah, and you, oh, that's probably not appropriate here. That is a tradition. You stand for the hallelujah chorus, and we were wondering if they were going to do it in Toronto, and they did. It was quite something. Anyway, that was our little gift to each other, and I hope she's not disappointed tomorrow. I'll get the ticket stubs up. Hallelujah. So do you expect a present tomorrow? Well, it's not about stuff. But the word present, that's an interesting word. Have you ever thought about the word present? It's one of those words that has lots of meanings. And I want to just take you through some of the meanings of our Christmas present this morning. A wonderful present through scripture. Present, if it's a noun, is the stuff. It's a gift. It's something we give to each other. And we talked already about that. Everybody's familiar with that sort of present at this time of year. We also talk about the present time. I'm in the present. I'm not in the past. I'm not in the future. I'm in the present. We also talk about I am present with you. We're all together. We're present in this room. And then, of course, you know, some words, if you change the emphasis on the syllable, you get a different meaning. So we can take present and turn it into present. And present, we give ourselves to God when we present ourselves to God. And we'll look at that. We present ourselves in some way. We give a presentation. And then if we add a couple of letters in front of it, we can represent or represent. And we're going to look at how I represent reflecting Jesus. I represent Jesus in my life. And the last one we'll look at, which just blows my mind and I'm so grateful for, Jesus represents me before the Father. So let's wander through scripture. We have 15 minutes to just allow these verses to wash over us and think about the present that we get from Father God. So really what I'm going to do, we'll sum this up. You can present a present in the present to someone presently with you, which represents a situation that presents itself. Okay, scholars, which was the noun, which was the adjective, which was the verb? And now do it in Greek. So you can present a present in the present to someone presently with you, which represents a situation that presents itself. We're going to go through some of those presents this morning. Since it's Christmas, let's have a present. It's our Christmas present. God gives us gifts. They're the best gifts we could have ever. The best present comes from God. We're told in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, all well-known verses, I'm sure most of these to us, and we live by them, but let's package them up and put a bow on them this morning. For the wages of sin is death. And that's a pretty serious statement that we all need to be aware of. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a wonderful gift that removes the wages that we've earned, we deserve, but the gift takes away that and gives us eternal life. What a present from God. James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is of God is, sorry, I jumped to the other verse. What went on there? Is from above. That's what I'm trying to do. You all know that verse, and you're trying to correct me, I know. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good gift, every gift that comes from God is a good gift. Every gift, every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, comes from heaven above. What wonderful gifts God gives us. And of course, we often talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God has given us, through the Holy Spirit, gifts that empower us and give us life. So let me encourage you tomorrow, if you open your... Some people do it tonight, I know you can't wait. But I see that hand. Oh, yeah. Yes, of course. And some have got another... We've got to be multicultural. I appreciate the input. Have you noticed, Vlad, everyone here has a strange accent? Yeah. If when you're opening your Christmas gifts, you're not totally satisfied, I know we keep it inside. We say, oh, that was nice. But if you're feeling, oh, socks again. Let me encourage you to go to the Father and open up one of the gifts of the Spirit. Because he wants to give you those tomorrow and this week, every day of the year. He wants to give us his gifts. The gifts of the Spirit come to us and we can use them for building his church. God is present with us now. He's not absent. He is a present God. God is with us. Psalm 46 verse 1 tells us, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Ever present, not sometimes present, not maybe present, but ever present. And God is with us. He says he'll never leave us or forsake us. But Matthew 1 verse 20 into 23, it takes us through the story of the angel of the Lord coming and speaking to them and giving them the story and telling them what's going on. And then he says eventually what the name of this baby is to be, and the name is Emmanuel. God is present with us. God is coming to be with us. God, the creator of all things, God, the sustainer of the universe, is coming to be with us. God with us. Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua. He will present us to God. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, we read, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. We're to be presented to God. Wow. Colossians 1, verse 22, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body, through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. So there again, we will be presented holy before the Father. And those are amazing thoughts. Those are amazing scriptures for us to take in. Often, and you probably see it in movies and plays and things, maybe not happen to you personally, but sometimes we are presented to an important person You know, it used to be important to be presented to the king or the queen. You were brought in and this is so and so, and you're presented to an important person. Well, one day we're going to be presented to the King of Kings, and we'll be presented as holy ones, cleansed. But in the meantime, we present ourselves to God. In Exodus 34, verse 2, we read, "Be ready in the morning." This is talking to Moses now. And you all know the story about the being in the wilderness and the Mount Sinai and getting the law. But the scripture tells us, "Be ready in the morning and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain." God is asking Moses to present himself. God asks us to present ourselves before him. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Isn't it lovely to have the kids? And they got wonderful gift packets this morning that Deb's been giving out and were made up for them. So thanks for doing that. That's wonderful. You know, even the little children are presented before God. Jesus said, "Bring the little ones to me." And he really is saying, "Yeah, bring and present them before me. I want to see them. I want to be in their lives." So we love the kids here. Some other things we can present ourselves before God. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 tells us, "Do not be anxious about anything." Sometimes that's a little difficult to take, and sometimes it's hard to apply in the practical. But scripture encourages us not to be anxious. But it does go on to say how we can attempt to not be anxious by saying, in every situation, by prayer and supplication, or by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we need thankful hearts, present your requests to God. So we bring our requests and we lay them before the throne and we say, "Father, this is me. This is where I'm at. This is why I'm anxious. This is what's troubling me." And we present our requests to God. The great thing about that verse, it doesn't leave us there and say, "Well, hope he hears you." Or, "Okay, next." It goes on to tell us, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We present God and his word to others. We are the presenters. Colossians 1:25, this is Paul writing, "I have become its," this is about the church, "its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness." The job that we're given is to present the word and in its fullness. So that's some of the presenting as well as the present. But now back to present, you know, our present time, not a long time ago, not way off in the future, but the present time. We read in Romans 8, verse 18, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Okay, in the present time, maybe we are struggling. Maybe there is sufferings. You know, it's not a perfect life we're in. We don't live in a perfect world. We live in his grace. We live in his glory. And that one day these present sufferings, these present experiences that we have, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. One day we will be glorious. Hang in there. Hang in there. In the present time. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 encourage us to present ourselves as living sacrifices. "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Maybe that's not so easy. We don't mind presenting our requests, but presenting ourselves as sacrifices might be a little bit more tricky. But it does help us to understand how we do that by the renewing of our mind, by taking time in scripture, by listening to the Lord, by presenting our requests, receiving his responses, living in the way he's giving us. That's how we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. And then a couple just to finish off, our lives, my life, your life, represents Jesus. We're told in Colossians 3, verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever we do, we're doing it in his name. We represent him because we're saying, this is in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus gives us authority and power. We know that. But it also is our representation of Jesus in our lives. And finally, the one I really like, well, I like them all, but this one, Jesus represents us before the Father. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, the other names for Holy Spirit that are put in Scripture are things like a comforter, a counselor, an advocate. Those are people that represent you. They're lawyers in court. You know, I want a good advocate if I have to go to court that's going to stand up, plead my case, and win it. Jesus is doing that in glory right now before the Father. It tells us in Romans 8:34, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, wait a minute, it doesn't stop there, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us or representing us. Do you think Jesus knows how to pray? Do you think the Father listens to Jesus when he intercedes? I do. And I'm so grateful that Jesus is representing me before the throne. I don't know where I'd be if he wasn't doing that. And who would dare tangle with God's... Oh, so this is the Message version of the same scripture. And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Isn't that good? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. It's got a way with words, Mr. Peterson. But it kind of shocks us into a new understanding of what Paul was trying to say. Jesus represents you. So this Christmas time, when we open the presents, let's think of the word present and what it means. The gifts that come from the Father, the presence, being present with him, being present with others, and being represented. Last year, I said something and I thought, oh, that's good, it kind of sticks. And that was, don't leave Jesus in the crib. You know, everybody loves Jesus when he's a baby. Everybody loves Jesus because the little cows and sheep come and cuddle up with him. Everybody loves Jesus because the wise men came and brought him gifts. But that's not who Jesus is. That was just the beginning. That was the start. That's when God said, I love, so love the world, I will give my only begotten son. And when he said that, the baby came and Jesus was born. But don't leave Jesus in the crib. He lived a life. He lived a perfect life. He healed people. He did miracles. He talked to the Father. He knew what the Father was doing and he did that. And then he gave his life for me. So at Christmas, it's as much about his death as it is about his birth. Because if he didn't die and he didn't rise again from the dead, as we just read in some of these passages, if he didn't do that, then he was just another baby. Didn't even quite make the first one of the new year. But Jesus wasn't just another baby. He was then, and he is now, the Son of God. And he is present with you. Know that this season. Know that as you think about giving gifts, the wonderful gift that God gave you and God gave me. And if we have opportunity over these holiday times and festivities and celebrating with family, if you have opportunity, represent Jesus to those that don't know him, because that would be the best gift you could ever give anyone, is salvation. Amen. Scott, come back for a last song. Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of Jesus, that present that is beyond all presence, that present that became more than a baby and became a presence in our lives. And Lord, I thank you now that Jesus, you are interceding for me, for each one of us before the Father. Lord, you know what I need. You know the strength in this present time. And Lord, I thank you that if you're on our side, we're winning. So bless us in the rest of this day. And Lord, we pray for this evening as we gather back here and others come in, Lord. May your declaration of love and life be presented. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.